And welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Jamie Lynn is essential listening in South Dakota and beyond. She has a new album with the JAS Quintet that will be released on October 6th. She plays with Eliza Blue next weekend at the Dahl Art Center in Rapid City. They play together as the Nesters. And you can catch Jamie Lynn this weekend at Rhythm at the Rapids in Del Rapids. She plays right after the Haig Brothers and before Tinderbox on Saturday. I think she's starting at 11. The whole event starts, she's starting at 1. The whole event starts at 11 with the Haig Brothers. And on Sunday the 17th this weekend, she's at the Straw Bale Winery in Renner at 1 p.m. Very busy person. And before all that, here she is with us in Vermilion in the studios. Jamie Lynn, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back in here. It's been a long time since I've had a face-to-face conversation with somebody on SDPB.
So. Yes, I'm usually listening to you in my headphones and you're there in Rapid and I'm smiling. Yep. And now you get to see the smiles right here as we share the love with Jamie
Right.
Lynn. So pretty busy traveling all over the state. You like that, don't you?
Yeah, I have a great weekend planned out. And, you know, it's like you kind of, as a musician, and I think other people probably experience this too, you have times where you're really, really busy and then you have, you know, some time in between, and then you go out and travel and do your work and then come home.
Yeah. Everybody wants to play with Jamie Lynn, it seems, in this state. What musician doesn't want to collaborate with you? What is that like for you?
It's, man, I'm the collaborations that I've gotten to be a part of in the last year have just been incredible. Like, I feel so fortunate to play with the group out of Sioux Falls, the JAS Quintet. I also feel incredibly fortunate that Eliza and I met up and started playing music. It's incredible what we've been able to do already in just a year. And she's right. Had like 2 kids during that time. And yeah, it's just, I get to play with these really inspiring, hardworking musicians. And it's inspiring to me. It keeps me wanting to do collaborations like this.
Tell me how it's different to perform as a solo artist like you're doing this weekend, and then to go out to the Dahl and play with Eliza as the Nesters next weekend. So what's a solo performance like versus a collaborative performance like for you?
You know, they're very different as a solo performer, and that's how I've like primarily performed.
Right.
You know, I have to say, you kind of get sick of just listening to yourself all the time. You know, it's
we don't get sick
to
you.
But it really does give you a space to experiment with songs, to develop songs, and to develop your performance style, and learn how to be all parts of a performance. You know, when I'm performing with somebody else, you know, they can take an instrumental solo, or if they're singing with me, they're creating a different sound or filling more space. When you're just performing solo, like, you have to do all of those things to complete the song. And so it's a really good space to do that. And next weekend I'll get to play with Eliza and then flat picker Jake Jackson and then a singer-songwriter from Portland, Oregon. Kara Baker.
And that's all at the same show.
Yeah, that's right. That's all
in one
show.
It's the Nesters and Friends.
Right. So. It's a crew. So we're really excited to experiment with that and this next week and prepare for it. Every time you collaborate with a new musician or work up new songs with them, you look at those songs in a different way and you learn how to perform vocally and instrumentally in a different way. So it's kind of exciting.
All right, let's hear something that you want to play for us. Let's talk about your solo work a little bit. Tell us what you're going to play first.
I'm going to play you a song that, a newer song of mine, but a song that is really inspired by Eliza's home life on a ranch just outside of Bison, South Dakota. This is one that we worked up, and I anticipate recording with her as a Nester song. It just finally got a name. It's called Perkins County, and it's really about the drought. It's kind of inspired by old cowboy songs, cowboy ballads, which I've always loved to play, like these stories of these guys working out on the range. And this is more of a modern take, kind of inspired by her. Inspired indirectly by her husband and like the modern rancher, which you know, they really have a different economy to make it work in, and it's a lot harder to pull off now than maybe it ever has been.
light in the morning, 'cause no one can see the moisture that cuts through the dust on my cheek. They say back in the 80s was never so dry. A fella couldn't live all the hay he must buy. So roll on, you doggies, don't move so slow. Gotta kick out some clothes that I let the rain go. And don't move so slow. I check the east pasture where mallards did fly. Bella ain't lived till he's seen his dams dry. Just look at the dog. Fighting flies, too tired to stand and look me in the eye. So roll on, you doggies, don't move so slow. Gotta kick out that let the rain go, and don't move so slow. My daddy was ranching, his daddy too. Now one job doesn't cut it, some got more than two. Comes in the morning, and I hold my breath and stand in the garden and watch it get wet.
You're listening to Moment in Sound with Jamie Lynn on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Thank you so much for that.
Well, thanks for having me.
What other albums do you have out now? How many?
Let's see. So my first one was with the Aquila Band.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I was in college. And then my first solo album, Sodbusters.
Sodbusters, yeah.
And then I did a duo project with a musician from the Black Hills, Dylan James. Then another solo project, which really wasn't a solo project. It was really a project with Andrew Reinertz and Dalton Coffey, and it has my name on it. now this next project we'll be releasing in just a few weeks. It's called Sparse.
What are you working on next? Like, what's left that you, and there's so much left that you haven't done, I'm sure, but in your mind, like, you know, what's left that you really want to move into, lean into next?
So right now, in this past year, starting a new duo project with Eliza Blue, has been so much fun. We're really excited to finally record some of the stuff that we've been working on, because we share so many interests in the subject matter of things that we write about, the songs that we want to cover. And recently, we've really been, and this always seems to happen with musicians, you know, you want to get really elaborate and get into these elaborate arrangements and maybe wordy songs, and then it seems like you always pull back. Yeah. And go back to the basics. And we've really been enjoying working up fiddle tunes.
Oh,
you know,
nice.
These incredible simple melodies, which were originally performed on banjo and guitar. You know, that's the instrumental basis for fiddle tunes in the first place. And it's really fun learning new ones and working them up together on banjo and fiddle.
So there's a Nestor's album in the future, possibly.
Oh, most definitely.
Excellent.
And you know, everything moves at a little slower pace with the Nestors because, as the name implies, we're both kind of, we're nesting. We're right. Kind of settling down. You know, I've got my tiny little, my mini homestead and chickens and things that I'm working on at home. And Eliza has the same thing going 2 hours north on a ranch, and she's got two very young kids. So it's incredible what she's been able to pull off with them. Like last weekend, we played four sets of music with her baby on her back, which people just loved it. They ate it up. They thought it was really cool because it went well. If it wouldn't have gone well, it would have been a different story, I think.
So what does that pace? What does that pace and that awareness of home and South Dakota do then to influence the music that you're writing?
It absolutely does. I think it really makes you look at things in a different way because we've both had points in our career and we're still, you know, we're at a different place individually. Like, you know, she has less time to commit to a project and less flexibility with travel than I do, but I think acknowledging that your home and your family are, and whatever that means for you, mm-hmm. is such an important part of your life as a musician. We both know people that, you know, travel permanently. You know, they don't have a home. And for some people, that's, you know, an incredible inspiration for their writing, and that's not really where we get it.
Right. Is there a legacy of that in South Dakota? Have you found, have there been other women, folk musicians, women musicians in our history who homesteaded and played? Or was it strictly
I could say, yeah, so-and-so, but I'm sure they existed. I haven't found them yet. I just started and maybe I'll find them like in the next week. I just started a book called Land of the Burnt Thigh,
right.
About women homesteaders from South Dakota. So
maybe there's a
great
hint
in there.
Yeah. Because people maybe would not have written about it.
Right, right. And that's, man, when I dug around for old folk songs from South Dakota, I hated finding historians who had like tried to look into it. And I found this a couple times where they wrote, well, homesteaders were just too busy. They just didn't really have time for music. And it's so not true.
Right.
I met a couple from the Black Hills, or they live in the Black Hills now, but they're originally from northwestern South Dakota. And they had a story in their family of, you know, the first homesteaders that, you know, set up shop up there once a year would journey, you know, into town, into Belle Fourche to get supplies for the winter. This particular year, the husband-wife went into town to get the supplies. She stayed at home, and he came home with a piano and no supplies. and he said something to the effect of, "I'm not going to survive another winter up here if we don't have something to do.
If we don't have the music."
Yep, it was more important than flour, you know, whatever he was going into town
to get.
So, you know, amidst those people that say, oh, they didn't have time for this, they were too busy like just trying to survive, you find stories where people are like, no, we need this to survive, we need music and entertainment. And yeah.
Let's have another song.
Okay,
what would you like to play next? You're listening to South Dakota Public Broadcasting Moment in Sound this week. My guest, Jamie Lynn, the perfect Jamie. I think you're perfect. I'm just going to say, I'm going to throw that out there. Isn't she perfect? Well, everybody nod. Well, yes, because she is.
That's charming. Thank you.
Let's talk just a little bit before we let you go about artists in residencies. This is something that you're a pretty popular resident artist, teaching artist in the state through the South Dakota Arts Council. I've done this. It is a fabulous program. Tell me a little bit about what that's like to go into a school or a hospital setting, or where do you go?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been a member of the South Dakota Arts Council's Artists in the Schools and Communities program for, I think it's 5-6 years now. And it's been an incredible opportunity for me. And it's a blast to go into schools. So I do a little bit different sort of residency in a school as opposed to when I'm at Sanford in Sioux Falls. But when I'm in a school, it's, we talk about South Dakota folk history, pull out some songs to sing together. And depending on my time constraints, we might do a little bit of songwriting. And then my other big thing that I love to bring into schools is the banjo, because so many kids, they usually know what a banjo is, but maybe they haven't heard one live or had the chance to touch one or play one. And I've got quite a collection going, and partially because of these residencies. Like a great friend of mine, Vince Jansen, built me a gourd banjo just so I could bring it into schools. And that's just been really, really fun to share with kids across the state. When I'm at Sanford in Sioux Falls, when I'm an artist in residence in the cancer center there, I'm mainly just playing music for people wherever they are in their day, whether they're in a waiting room, sometimes for inpatients, especially patients that are there for a long time. It breaks up the time and gives them, something to look forward to or participate in. I've had an incredible experience. Almost every chunk of time I spend there, I have one or two encounters with patients that are just incredible, where they share their talent with me or stories with me about music in their life or in their family's past. It's been an incredible experience spending time there through support from the South Dakota Arts Council and the National Endowment for the Arts. So it's a really, really cool program to be a part of.
Jamie Lynn on this week's Moment in Sound. You can see her in Del Rapids this Saturday at Rhythm at the Rapids. She plays at 11. Hegg Brothers kick it off at 11. Mm-hmm. You play at 1. The Tinderbox is after her, so you want to make a day of it there in Del Rapids. Sunday, Jamie Lynn is at the Strawbale Winery in Renner. That's at 1 p.m. Central. And then hop the river for the Dahl Art Center in Rapid City. See the Nestors, Jamie Lynn, Eliza Blue, and friends. That's Friday, September 22nd. And hopefully you'll be coming back before October 6th, and we'll talk about this album with the JAS Quintet.
I look forward to it.
We'll put those dates and some links up on our website after the program, listen.sdpb.org. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.